Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the 2nd of June, 2025. And it's quarter past seven or 25 past seven or something like that, past seven in the morning on actually a sunny day, which is rather nice. Well, it's typical, isn't it? Because it's a Monday morning. So the chemtrailers have eased off a bit today, which is nice. Anyway, so hopefully you're not rushing to get on a train and spend a day inside under fluorescent lights sitting in a terminal. Let's hope not, anyway, and can enjoy some of the sunshine at some point, get some vitamin C, which would be nice. Let's hope so, anyway. Yesterday was Sunday. It was a reasonable day. Sun did come out, so that was nice, and people were out, though it was windy, very windy. I did a stroll, took a stroll down to the seafront. Not as busy as I thought it might be, and very windy, and I think it was because of the wind that it wasn't as busy as I thought it might have been. So that was a shame, but I dare say people were occupying themselves in a fabulous way. Well, at least I hope they were. I managed to get some red penning done on my book, some typing up, transposing. Very close now, which is very good. Julia came over in the evening. We had a lovely meal. She brought the meal with her, which we cooked, and we ate that, which was delicious. We did a bit of reading, and then she read a chapter of my book, one of the finished chapters that I'd been working on, and found all the errors, the errors that I thought I had eliminated. So we're doing more of that so that she could help me proofread it. Then it will go off to somebody completely different who's never seen it before, who can read it and make up their mind whether it's A, a good story, B, whether there's any more errors in it, which would be jolly good. So, yeah, that was pretty much yesterday. And today, I believe, I need to have a double check in my dear diary, that, yeah, I have an interview at 4 o'clock. And that's... That's pretty much it this week, because we've got a day away, and I want to really focus on getting this book done. So I do as much as I can in a day, but some bits sometimes it's very difficult to sit there transposing. It's a very tedious job. It's not my best thing to do, sitting and going, deciphering the red pen. So I have to do it with breaks to an hour, and then have a break and do another hour, and, you know, 20-minute break, whatever, and just keep coming back to it afresh. Otherwise, you miss the errors, and you're just not focused on it, so there's no point boggling my one eye too much. I boggle it enough. So yeah, that was that. And yesterday I put out my pipe smoking video, as well as a video which I can't remember what my main video was about yesterday. Cannot remember at all. I'm sure it was about something. It was about 13 minutes long. That bit I can remember. Yeah, so all is well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. So. Shorts on today, although inside a little bit chilly. As I say, the sun is shining, so that's very nice. We've been reading Post of Honour by R.F. Delderfield, and this is the second book in the series. And my goodness, he's such a good writer. So he has a depth that many writers don't reach for ordinary everyday life. But he's talking about the First World War in it, and or exploring what happens when the valley, the Sorrel Valley, that Paul Craddock is, he's the main sort of hero. Hero always sounds, he's the main protagonist, because hero sounds like he's got to go and do heroic things. And I suppose in his own way he's doing heroic things, but it's this gentle unfolding of a story in different circumstances, and the war comes along. And what's fascinating, really, I suppose, because he's given it huge amounts of thought as he's writing, or before he writes, as he's planning out the plot, is his he comes from East Devon. Excuse me. And he knows the character, he knows the people, and he was writing in the 60s when he wrote this, so it was some, what, 40 years, 50 years earlier. And he writes about the attitudes of these people who think it was going to be a bit of a jolly, and they all sign up to give Fritz a good punch on the nose. And of course many of the characters that have been introduced into the book end up dead in some horrific ways, and their wives are left back home unsure what to do and how to cope. And so there's just some very poignant scenes, but also satisfying and funny in a way, and yet at the same time quite frightening. And he reflected a scene yesterday that we were reading, which was a bit like the it shows that people haven't changed in 100 years. It was a bit like the COVID business, where people were forcing, you know, through ignorance and through mainstream narrative, were had come to a false conclusion, and we're all working together, really, to target this particular individual. And they wouldn't take what this lady was saying as true. And I felt that was very much like people who are friends and people who are related just stabbing their friends and relations in the back because they had a difference of opinion. And we saw that so vilely during the COVID lockdown that if you wanted to question anything, you were deemed some form of monster, that you were killing granny, that you were threatening lives because you were going, do you think this vaccine really is as useful as they say it is? Do you think we really need it? Haven't we got an immune system? Shouldn't we be looking at other ways to make ourselves healthy rather than everybody in the entire world taking something which hasn't been tested that might have detrimental effects? Don't you think? And it's like, no, for God's sake, Richard, take the flipping thing. And yeah, we've all suffered that, haven't we? And if not that, I mean, again, in Brexit, when there was a difference of opinion about should we leave Brexit, well, that was the beginning, really, of this two-tier society. The followers of mainstream who've been hypnotised by the main narrative and what government wants you to do, and those who are going, well, hold on a second, maybe it would be better to stand on our own and be independent and, oh, no, you can't do that, for goodness sake. I should have known that, really, because I should have known I was going to have trouble with my eldest son, because he, I think, didn't want to come out of the EU. I very much wanted to see us stand on our own, because we had stood on our own in the past, and very well, thank you very much, and we weren't under the influence of, and we didn't really want to have an EU army, although apparently that's now a thing, and they said, no, we won't be having an EU army, don't be so stupid, and now there is one, and people will be drafted in, conscripted no doubt from this country to go and fight a war that shouldn't be happening in a place that is not near to us, and is completely just irresponsible. But yes, I think my eldest was annoyed with me for having my stance and saying, well, let's give our country a chance, so why don't we, on our own? Oh no. And then during COVID, of course, he doubled down on, no, got to take this, must wear the mask, must do this. And of course our relationship has been strained ever since. But then I suppose he is my own son. Whereas my other children have been a lot more forgiving of their stringent father with his strange ideas. But I, of course, I'm not the only one. This is something that many people are struggling with. and continue to struggle with, even now. Although I think the ill and the dying are beginning to realise there might not have been such a good idea. But it depends whether they're prepared to help themselves. Some of them still don't seem to be able to help themselves, and the idea of supplements or tinctures or alternative medicine is not sufficient. And it is very sad when you hear people still going trotting back and getting their medication. But what can you do? You can't live other people's lives. Julia is peering for something. What have you lost, my love?
Papers.
Ah, yes, the morning papers. I haven't seen any, but... You got them?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes. The Biggleswick Times. Always good to have a good read of the Biggleswick Times. A sensible paper, that one. Anyway... This might be a very short one, really. Julia's unfortunately got to get back early to her kids whilst her ex goes off. We had a last week, can't remember if I mentioned it, must have mentioned it, we had a bit of an excitement thing. We saw a property which we thought might be worth having a punt on and spoke to the auction that was running it and also the estate agent. But there were a couple of things that were wrong with the property in the end. There was a public footpath, which meant that anything that we did could be overseen by anybody, including councillors and planning officers, as they crossed the path. But we found out about the auction process, which was interesting, and guide prices. So, yeah, if only we had another 100,000 in the bank, it would make life a lot easier. You could sort of go through this gambling, what do you do? What do they call it? Auctioning thing, where you keep going up and up and up, put another 10,000 on and another 10,000. You think, well, how much work have you got to do to get that extra 10,000, which in the whim and the frenetic moment of the auction, you just go, yeah, no, I want it. And then you might have something that you really regret having to pay the extra, which would have made, well, with that 10 grand, you could have bought a couple of caravans or something. You could have bought a tractor. You could have bought all sorts of... could have bought some fencing material. So one's got to be so careful when one goes into these auctions, I think. I've never done it before. I haven't bought a house for 30-something years. Sold a house, sold my dad's house. And, well, actually, I lie, about, well, how long ago was it? 15 years ago now? When I bought my house off Dawn. But I didn't have to put it on the market, and I did it all online. So I can't see why you can't do it all online, not involve bloody solicitors. But, anyway... Anyway, I think I'll leave it there for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you did, and if you didn't, well done. You managed to avoid it, but we'll get you next time. Take care. Have a lovely day, and I'll talk to you then. Toodle-pip.